Todd, I appreciate you coming on, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Where are you calling me from?
I just flew into Southern California from Hawaii last night.
All right. So besides being a football player, father, coach, artist, author, you're everything above, you're about to play real estate agent. Julia, my wife, and I are seriously considering moving to Hawaii very soon. Give me a recommendation on the best island. I want, obviously, a nice beach, living, relaxing, that's not overly touristy. Where should we be looking?
Wow. I can't give you my secret.
Yeah, Todd, you're giving me some crappy eye. I'm like, bro, this is good. Far away from me, right?
No, there's no crappy island out there. You, whatever you choose, you'll be happy, I think. I absolutely love it. Being a beach guy my whole life, where are you going to go when you want to move from, you know, Southern California? And I think the natural progression is Hawaii.
Oh, that's so cool. What about your favorite food out there? You're in California now. I don't know how long you're going to be out there. What food are you craving? And you're like, I need to get back to Hawaii to eat what?
Well, right when I got off the plane, I was craving In-N-Out here.
Okay, okay.
They don't have it over there. So I got an In-N-Out burger last night. Loved it, like always. And getting back there, it's the fish. I'm a huge fish guy, and I thought ahi was my favorite until I tried their ono, which is wahoo here, we call it, but it's unbelievable, and I like it. It's raw.
Now, you're a girl dad now too to Coco. Last thing she did that made you melt. Listen, you're this old school football player. There's videos of you getting crushed, throwing touchdown passes. What's the last thing she did that you're like, oh my God, imagine if my old players saw me doing this right now?
Probably her painting my nails. Yeah.
Awesome.
She's quite a budding artist too, and so she's with me right now, and we're gonna get into some art later. Looking forward to it.
So you're probably not going to remember this because you've done a million interviews and stuff, but you came on my podcast when I first started, and I just looked. It was February of 2015. I just started. You were so kind to me to come on. And Todd, I started that podcast by saying this exact line. Before I even bring up football or anything else into this conversation, how's your recovery going? Because many people in my circle struggle with addiction, and I'm curious how your recovery is going. You responded, Mike, recovery and addiction is a bitch. 10 years later, I'm going to ask you the same question, brother. How's recovery going for you?
That's a great answer. And I'm going to stick with it. It's really when I think I got it, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so I don't, you know, I go day to day. And that's for me. You know, that's the way to do this thing is just doing it for today. Like, you know, I've been in and out a long time, and I've lost some really close people to me, and I try to learn from it and what they did and emulate the things that worked for them, and I try to be consistent.
And I'll tell you why. We're going to talk about your book now, Maranovic, Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction. I love the book. And listen, many people are going to grab this book because of a football player and your incredible story. I grabbed it for both, that and the addiction part. And there was a line you said in the book, Todd, that just resonated so much with me. And I just want to thank you for it. In the book, you said, like, you kind of hate when people say, okay, you finally done using. And I needed a smack in the face because my brother's been clean now, thank God, knock on wood, sign of the cross for years now. But I still write to him like, hey, are you done using? And he's like, bro, I hope so, but I don't know. So reading that book, I'm like, wow, that brought me back because I haven't talked about it. I haven't gone to like Naranon in a while. So I'm like, wow, that really brought me back. So just so you know, before we get into the book, your book already helped someone, man. So congratulations on writing the book and everything, man.
Awesome. It's great news.
Let me ask you this, Todd. When you see someone reading your book, whether it's going to be in down by USC or in Hawaii, are you going to approach them? Like, they're reading the book, they're at the beach, you know, they're just chilling, and you're like, oh my God, they're reading my book. Are you going to approach them?
I haven't thought about that. I think I'll leave them alone.
Hey, you've been pretty open, obviously, with everything in your life, from the ESPN 30 for 30 to this book to your interviews. Was it difficult to write this book and really open up? Because you went back to childhood, all the rumors about, you know, this and that, you kind of like dispelled all of it. Was it heavy for you writing this book?
You know, it was a lot more emotionally taxing than I thought, because I had no idea what I was really getting myself into. And it takes you back there, you know, no matter how much time has passed or what have you. When I'm going through it with Lizzie like I did, it was tiring. It was exhausting. And I was happy when we were complete.
Yeah, it must be emotionally draining, right?
Yeah, for sure. Oof. For sure.
And you're going to get this a lot doing press. Why now? What made you write this book now? Because I always thought, and obviously I was wrong, that your story was told. I watched a documentary on you. Unfortunately, I saw some of the other stuff going on. I'm like, oh, no, not again, Todd. But now why write the book now?
You know, it was just timing. The way it worked out, I was in Hawaii my first year. And I go to... how many years now? At least 5 years I've been going back to the Raider reunion. Mm-hmm. And that really changed my life going back there. It was an unbelievable experience because my roommate, my rookie year, Andrew Glover, who was my tight end, kept telling me, Todd, everybody's asking about you. You got to come. And I'm telling him, I don't believe, you know, they're asking about me. Come on. They don't want anything to do with me. He's like, bro, come on. And finally, after year, he kept going and coming back and saying these things. I finally went. And it was just rekindled the relationship with Mark Davis. And then the players that I played with, it's truly been an amazing experience going back there every summer. And it's fun now that they're in Las Vegas. It makes it even much more exciting to visit. And I'm not really a huge Vegas guy, but it's a good spot to have a reunion. And so I ran into a player. He's on my offensive tackle, Steve Wright. And he said he just finished writing a book, and his wife did it, Lizzie. And he said, you should do it. It'll be real easy. I said, real easy, Steve. But it turned out to be great. And I'm glad I did it. And it was at a time that I could spend, you know, the time that I needed to do it. And I was in a great place, figuratively and literally, in Hawaii. And so we just knocked it out.
In the book, because obviously I got an advanced copy, I'm very grateful for that. I'll thank Lizzie again for that. What has the feedback been for the book? Like, people are probably just floored by it, but are people happy with it? And more importantly, are you happy with the results of the book?
Yeah, I am. And I'm glad I did it. And I've gotten a couple texts from ex-teammates that were really, they say, proud of me. That just stepping out there and being honest about some areas that a lot of people wouldn't be.
Your book, Todd, it made me laugh. There was a part in the book where I'm reading your book and it's towards the end. Obviously, we're not going to play spoiler. And you're like, I threw 7 touchdowns after like a 17-year hiatus. We win 73-0. I'm like, bro, this is the comeback story. And the next page, you're like, but I was using. I'm like, bro. Todd, it brought me back to my brother and my friends. Like, I got so mad. If I had your number, I'm like, bro, are you kidding? I'm like, bro, 17 years. I got so mad at you during that part of the book.
Yeah, that was a plan. I think, I don't know, I was in my late 40s. And it was what an experience. And it wasn't like I was signing up to do it. I was just helping out. I was coaching, and I loved to coach. And then the position opened up. The guy got a job somewhere as an offensive coordinator. The player did, and the coach looked at me and goes, God, Todd, you're in pretty good shape. How about, you know, lacing it up? I guess so. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Why not?
And you have this crazy 7-touchdown game. When talking about addiction, and please don't think I'm just stereotyping you as Todd the addict, never, because you're the superb athlete. I drew such comparisons to Chris Herron. So many things about your life was similar. The 30 for 30 on him, on you. There was one on him on Guarded. Both stud athletes that decided to stay home for school. Both played for like the local pro teams. You went to the Raiders, him for the Celtics. Both battled demons. But the problem was, and this is a good problem to have, you still excelled at your sport where 99% of the mortals would be horrible. Like Chris Herron is like, yeah, I did this and that, but I dropped 38. You're doing this and this and throwing touchdowns. Have you ever heard that comparison or any, like, you know Chris or anything about him?
You know, I don't know him personally. I've seen the 30 for 30, and it's an amazing story. And it just really screams how talented the guy is. I mean, when you're playing at that level and you're really dumbing yourself down, by using, you're not obviously firing it on all cylinders, and you're still excelling. That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Your book, Outside the Lines, in Football, Art, and Addiction, you really took the reader on a roller coaster of emotions. Like, I loved how famously you talk about going to USC, and with such passion and emotion, you talk about the Rose Bowl, right? That's gonna be part one. Isn't it weird that how much that game meant to you, and now the bowl games mean nothing unless it's a playoff game? Isn't that kind of wild?
It's completely, completely mind-blowing. When the Pac-12 broke up, I was almost shocked. I never really thought that would be even a possibility. And growing up the way I did around USC and how much the Rose Bowl meant and how powerful the Big Ten against Pac-10 back then. And a lot of the time it was for the national championship. And there, obviously there was no playoff system and there was no arguments. Those were the two best, teams coming from those conferences that that's all I wanted to do. And that would really made my decision where to go to USC was because of that. And I wanted to go to Stanford. I really did. Because I was a quarterback, I threw the ball, and Elway had just come out of there, and they'd always had the great quarterbacks. And Jack Elway, John's dad, was the head coach at the time who had been recruiting me. And I just, they had started recruiting me when I was at Modern Day. So I was, for 4 years, they worked on me.
Wow.
And that was the defining moment when I said, you know what? I love everything about Stanford. I just don't want to get beat by USC every year. And which has happened, that I want to experience the big game, the granddaddy, like Jackson used to say, the granddaddy of them all.
You get chills thinking about it.
I did. I got chills just saying it.
Of course. And you excelled at it. Like, that's just – there's so much to talk about. Have you ever thought – and we don't play revisionist history, but have you ever thought, like, wow, if I went for Stanford or if I went to the U and played for Jimmy Johnson, not that your life would be different, but maybe a different career path. Have you ever thought of that or not really?
You know what? Not really. I've been asked maybe a few times, would it have been different if I would have gone to the Jets and not the Raiders, because the Jets had the pick after the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And so if the Raiders hadn't picked me, I would have gone to New York. And would it have been different? I mean, it would have been different, but how much different? Not, I don't think very much, because my addiction at that time was growing in power and intensity, and there was no stopping it.
One more Chris Herron line, because you mentioned the Jets coming to New York, and Chris is like, I always thought it was home. Boston was the problem. Then it went to Denver, and Denver was the problem. Then it went to Fresno, and then he goes, I was in a park in Istanbul, Turkey, and I'm like, all right, it might be me at this point.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I love the fact, because I never knew this, obviously misconceptions about your dad, and I never knew you even played other sports, and yet you played basketball, and you almost played with Harold Miner, right?
Yeah. We were at SC at the same time, and Raveling was trying to get me to come out. And I loved basketball. It was my favorite sport, and I just loved it. However, at the time when Coach Raveling was recruiting me to come out, my plate was full. Playing foot. I can't imagine guys doing two sports in college. It's just, and I said, Coach, there's not enough basketballs on the court at one time for Harold and myself. Yeah, he was dominating. He was fun to watch.
Oh, he was baby Jordan, baby. Todd, how much would you have made in NIL? You California kid. Bro, that has to bother you a little bit.
I was talking to my son because he's at he will be a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
This coming year. And that's mind blowing, the NIL deals. And I said, coming out of high school, there's a chance I might have been a millionaire.
Without a doubt. Good looking lefty quarterback, and there's a war that Miami and USC wants him. Easily a millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Any interest in football now? Are you still into the game? Do you watch it here and there? Or is it, because like, I have so many athletes on, and they're like, hey, listen, before we talk, don't go in. Like, I have old Yankees on, and they're like, hey, let's not go too much Yankee talk. I don't really watch them. Are you into football at all anymore?
You know, my son got me back into it.
He drew you back in.
Yep. Right when I thought I was out. he pulled me right back in. And I love it, watching it with him and talking about it, and because it's a great game. As much as dangerous as it is in how my experience with it, it's really close to home. Obviously, mm-hmm. Losing close friends like I have because of it, it makes it. I have mixed emotions, when you strip everything down, because of my experience with team sports, that they're amazing and can change a person in a way and really enhance their life. And I'm not talking at the professional level, playing at that level, just through high school even. What you gain out of it by being on a team is priceless, really. And my views have changed, and it's because I was brought up in such a passionate, win at all cost mentality. And truly, it's not a. And I used to hear parents say, you know, it's not about winning or losing. And I looked at them, what is it about then? And I didn't know. I really didn't know, and it's just. Took time of getting older to understand that truly it's not about, you know, winning and losing. And when I go back to these reunions, like, it's not, we're not talking about the Rose Bowl. We're not talking about we're just talking about the human and our experience together. And that's what it's about. It's about relationships.
That's a beautiful answer. When you come up, I want to hear this. Not at USC, because I'm not sure if they were rocking jerseys back then. When you get drafted by the Raiders and you're in the mall or walking down the street, tell me the first time you see someone wearing your jersey.
You know, they didn't do that back then. And I think it was probably at USC, and there's some kids. You know, we're wearing 13. And it's a trip. Now I see 13 and I see me, but my son sees Caleb Williams, you know, and gosh, it's funny though, when I was saying about choosing SC over Stanford, USC was total, running a tailback university. And boy, it switched the last few decades from Carson, Carson Palmer, and then on and on, Matt Leinart, and of course, Caleb, which just turned turned the lights out. He was impressive and fun to watch. But yeah, completely different program now.
Your humor in the book is what really stood out to me. And when you see addicts, unfortunately, in New York, you see a lot of them. Listen, in Hawaii, you see them on the street, and you're like, wow, they're so down in their luck. I wish there was something I can do. And your humor, like, you went from talking about getting a call from President Reagan to being like, maybe I should have helped her with the war on drugs. And then you tell them, and then Todd, then you tell the dorm room story with the inaccuracy in the bedroom. Like, dude, those stories were so great writing those. How much has humor helped you with your recovery?
Oh, just yes. It's I'm just blessed and great and grateful that I can laugh at myself, and it's kept me alive, truly.
Wow.
You know, without it, I might have eaten a gun, you know.
Oof. That's heavy, man. During the book, Todd, one more thing with the book. You were honest, heartbreaking, hilarious, like I just said. You didn't drop names or blow people up. It just shows what a stand-up dude you are, knowing that if you would have told a story about Marcus Allen, Tim Brown, Palomalu, it would have got mad press. Did that ever come into your mind? Or you're like, nah, bro, I'd rather keep those names, like the crazy parties you had, I'll keep that to myself.
Yeah, it never really crossed my mind at all. I just didn't want to do that to anybody that I would call a friend. And those experiences, I wanted to definitely share those with people. But do really names matter? They do to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was a story.
The story you told, because like I said, there's been such misconception and stuff about your dad, you know, and you cleared it all up in the book. You know what fact blew my mind? When you started for the Raiders, you only had like 10 or 12 starts under your belt since high school. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, when you talk about that now, like, you repeat that. You only had 10 or 12 starts since high school, and you were starting for the Raiders. Like, how the hell is that possible?
When I think back to working out with the Rams, while my dad was coaching with the Rams, and I was at that age, that like 12, 12, 13. And I'm throwing, I'm in line, taking turns with Ferragamo and Hayden, and I'm throwing to their guys. And when you look at that, you would think, and I just had the feeling that I was going to be doing this. It didn't faze me because I was around it. You know, I'd take buddies with me, you know, to ramp practice, and their eyes were just like saucers of seeing players. And they were just guys. And I always was drawn to the ones that made me laugh, and they were just human. And if you're not around it, they're bigger than life. So I had an unfair advantage, because at that age, I just knew I was going to be doing this, and I didn't know how long it would be until I was. And so when you say that stat, it's a crazy stat, but it's not a surprise, you know, to me.
So with that being said, when you were in the league and you see Marcus Allen, Tim Brown, and you see these dudes, so you're not really starstruck right away. Well, honestly, 99% of anyone else would be starstruck. So it didn't, obviously it's Marcus Allen, it's Hall of Famers, but it didn't really like, holy crap, that's Marcus Allen. So you didn't really, not appreciate it, but you weren't blown away by it, right?
No, there was one guy, and it just happened to be two of my favorites were at this banquet together. And I remember my mom, this was in, I think, Washington, D.C. when I was a senior in high school, and getting an award, and the MC was Sylvester Stallone. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, you want to go over and get his autograph? And I was like, Mom, no, I want to go over and get a picture with Walter Payton.
Oh,
and, yes. And Dr. J, both of them were there. And I was in heaven with the Dr. J. I mean, I had the poster of the doctor in my room. And also Sweetness. I mean, I was starstruck then, and I haven't been since.
those are two iconic ones to get at the same event.
Yes. Yes, I know. It was beautiful.
Your time in the NFL, unfortunately, brief. What was your welcome to the NFL moment? Was it like maybe them taking you out, you paying for dinner? Was it getting hit by so-and-so? What was your welcome to the NFL moment like? Okay, I'm here.
Oh, shit, Mike. It was straight out of a movie. We were playing Dallas in Dallas, the stadium, the one with the freaking hole in it where it would cast shadows. I grew up watching that shit. And it was a preseason game, but Russell Maryland, he was a defensive lineman out of Miami.
Of course.
And he was a load. And I remember I was in the pocket, and then I got flushed out, and swerving Mervin Fernandez, the receiver, was cutting across the field. And so I stopped. I was on a full run, and I stopped. Big mistake. And Russell had I saw it on the film, a good 10, 15 yard unblocked run at me. And he hit me right in the side of the jaw after I had thrown it. It would, you know, he would have been ejected today for it, you know. And I'm on the ground looking up at that big hole in the roof, and Red, I forget the referee, Red, whatever, he go, first down. He was that with that accent from the Midwest. And he looked at me. And he shook his head. He said, that's just an everyday hit in the NFL, son. And I just was like, oh, my God. If that wasn't late, I don't know what was.
That's a great welcome to the NFL.
Down and incomplete.
That's a great welcome to the NFL moment.
Yes. Yes, it was.
One last thing about the book, Todd. So many people have helped you or tried to help you. What was it about the Muhammad, and I'm not going to pronounce his name, E-L-E-W, if you can pronounce
it.
Oh,
El-Nibi.
Yeah, what was about that 22-hour ride that was so significant that it stood out so much that you put in the book?
What a special dude, man. I was at maybe the lowest point in my dark times up there in Vancouver, and Mo was just so loving that you know, he affected me forever. He's super just one of those humans that is just so just where you think, man, I wish there were more Mo's around. For real. And what a player. Oh, my God. But he was just oozing athletic ability at his size. It was he's a guy that could have been a 12-year vet in the NFL.
That's cool to hear. Okay, a couple addiction questions. It affects everyone differently. What's something about addiction that most people, fans of the game, don't understand, especially when it comes to athletes?
Well, with athletes, I think it's like a double whammy. Because you need that confidence to compete at that level, and there's no time for self-doubt when you start doubting yourself, you know, out on the field, you're done. It's so competitive, and so you have this feeling of invincibility, and of course you're going to take that same feeling in all areas of your life. And if addiction's in your DNA, it's highly dangerous, because that addiction's going to feed off that ego, and it's going to kill you.
Oof, invincibility, what a good word to put in for that. Right now, it's weird. When you say your name, people sometimes now think artist and speaker, inspirational role model. Isn't that weird how your creative side kind of like redefined you as the quarterback? Like 15 years ago, 20 years ago, you would always be the quarterback. Now, isn't it weird to be kind of called an artist and a speaker and an author? Is that weird for you?
I love it. Yeah, because it's because I'm definitely not one dimensional. Mm-hmm. And there's so many parts that I'm still learning about myself. And so if somebody hears the name and can think of anything other than football, that's more accurate.
I love hearing that. I love when I had you on last time, you're like, bro, I'm the artist now. So I just loved hearing that.
Yeah.
One other question. I'm always curious about this because my brother feels the same way. You waited till the end of the book to talk about the war on drugs. Your thoughts on what Portugal does, the pros and cons of legalizing most of it. Are you pro that or do you want more awareness? What's your thoughts on that, Todd?
I'm pro that. I think when if you're in a community that is falling apart and struggling like a lot of our communities here, it's just smart to look somewhere where they're having some success, no matter how far out of the box it may seem. It just seems smart, you know, to me to do that. And really, it's getting honest. Mm-hmm. Because when I grew up, there was no honesty at all about substances. They were all like so bad. Like the shit that I heard about cannabis and even LSD or what have you, I knew in my intuition told me they're full of shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to check it out myself. And that's just my personality. And there were others that felt the same way. And I think Portugal's just being, you know, honest and treating it more humane.
No, that's a great answer. And you know what happens, Todd? Like, for example, I know my friends who are, you know, getting into the psychedelic, the mushrooms, and they're like, bro, we're not going to get high. A lot of my military friends are like, bro, it actually helps us with PTSD. But the stigma, to this day, the stigma is like, bro, they smoke weed, bro, that's bad. Like when New York legalized it, it was like an uproar. It's like, well, there are many benefits to it. You know, it was just so demonized so much. You know, no one has the conversation that some of them are beneficial.
Yes. And the flip side to that is that just talking about herb now, of how strong, it's not the weed that I grew up on. And so there is dangers there. But it's not dangerous for everybody, and it definitely depends on quantity you're taking. But I've had close buddies go too far, even with that, where they're not the same, and so it's something that you can't put it all in one and say this is bad, this is not. No, there are definitely levels to it, and that's what makes it so dangerous for anybody that has an addictive issue. No matter if it's harmless to one person, smoking a joint, it could be the nail in the coffin for another.
Heavy and true. The book, Maranovich, Outside the Lines in Football, Art, and Addiction. Todd, I've had you on for 32 minutes. Are you ready to finish up with a few quick kick questions before your daughter goes to paint your nails? Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
You and I are hanging out here in New York City or in Hawaii. Who's the coolest person in your phone if you want to impress everyone at a party that if you text them, they would text you right back?
Marcus Allen.
All right. That might be one of the best answers I've ever heard. All right, Todd. Last show you binged watched.
Oh, shoot. Gosh. I just did, and I haven't drawn a blank what it was. What was it? Oh, shit. I can't even remember, bro.
Okay, how about Lesh, any show you'd like to rewatch over and over then?
It's been a few years because I don't have TV in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And now most people just, you know, do it on their phone, but I don't even do that. So yeah, there's too much going on and not where I live in Hawaii. It's so rural that I get lost in the environment. It's just beautiful.
How about this one, Todd? Last person you asked to take a picture with, not Sweetness and Dr. J. Last time you saw someone like, oh shit, I got to take a picture with who?
No, that was the last one.
Stop it, really?
Yeah, I've only done it once.
Bro, that's so wild.
Yeah, it was only one time, and that was the one too. If I would have seen, today, if I would have seen Larry Bird
Of course,
or,
of course.
somebody, for sure, I'd be on him. But I just hadn't come across anybody since I was
Wow.
18. It's been a long time.
All right, three more quick ones. Did you ever get to see Nirvana open for the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Oh, no, I
Oh.
never did. Yeah.
When I'm reading that, I'm like, I hope he got to see Kurt open before Flea. Oh, so you never saw it.
No, I was bummed.
That
I
is a
got to see them. They played at the MTV Music Awards, and so it was just one song, but I never got to see a full show.
You're a sports guy. One sporting event in the history of the world that you can sit front row and watch. You get a ticket to any sporting event in history. What are you watching?
Oh, I'm watching the Final Four.
And who's your team?
Oh, gosh, that's a good
I'm
one.
the
Well, it's
biggest
not
Kentucky basketball fan, so let's not talk ill of my Wildcats.
the first. That's my buddy Yazel's a huge Cat fan.
Oh, I love them more than life, man.
Yeah, you know what? I don't have a team in basketball. I just love the sport, and so yeah, it doesn't matter.
And final quick hit question, coolest piece of memorabilia that you own?
Oh, I sold a lot of it before I needed the extra money to move the family to Oregon, and I said, you know what? I don't need this stuff. But I have an old pair of cleats that my dad wore that I wore at USC, and then I ended up wearing them for the Raiders. I don't know if you remember, they were Rydell and they were black, and they had these little white like hookups on the side, and those were the cleats of like Johnny Unitas. They're that freaking old, and I busted those out in the and the players, the looks that I got from those, they're like, what are you doing, bro? It just sort of laughing at them, but I just and they weren't great cleats, but I could not help myself when I saw, when I saw them. I still got those.
Todd, give the plug for the book. I know you don't know social media. If you're still on social media, if you're still doing the art stuff, give the plug where everyone can follow you and everything, Todd.
Yeah, if you ever are interested in the book, there's a website where you can hop on and learn about it, get it. It's mirnovichbook.com.
And the book comes out.
Comes out here shortly. I
Yes,
mean, that's why I'm
Tuesday,
in
August
town.
5th. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm out at Barnes and Noble in Huntington Beach on August 6th, and yeah, it'll be fun. It's a good time for me.
I know you're gonna be doing a lot of press, so I appreciate you coming on early. Do you like doing the press, a lot of the interviews, or is it like, oh, a little draining and tough to like repeat everything over? That's why I tried to make mine a little different.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one because that's usually my reaction, Mike. It's like, I'm not excited about doing them, but when I get on and I can tell in the first few questions how it's going to go. And thanks for making it easy on me today.
Bro, of course. Listen to me, Todd. This was a true honor. And I mean this too. And when you came on last time, because I actually went back to try to find your number a while ago, I emailed you. It was email correspondence. And anytime something happens to you, like I always write to you, obviously, I don't have your number. I would email you, like, dude, I pray for you. I think of you. You've been an inspiration to me. You helped me out. You helped my family and my friends out. So just know your words are powerful, man. Your message is awesome. And the book is absolutely tremendous, bro.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.